From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 6th day of April, 2022. Today, we'll celebrate the 100th anniversary of the first broadcast made from this campus. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It was Thursday, April the 6th, 1922, when the then WRM, WILL's predecessor, signed on the air for the first time. On that night, four men gathered around a 50-watt vacuum tube in the university's electrical engineering laboratory and broadcast a 30-minute program that covered Illini baseball and track, stories from the Daily Illini newspaper, and brief lectures on turning cream into gold and the value of parks for towns of Illinois. Now, this inaugural broadcast could apparently be picked up within a 500-mile radius of the Urbana campus. The Turning Cream into Gold lecture was about dairy cattle, and so the very roots, the very soul that breathed life into this station a century ago, reached deep into our prairie soils, the agricultural and engineering fabric weaved into this great academic institution dedicated to the people of the state. Now, I'm very proud to have been part of that tradition for 36 of those 100 years. I'm very proud University of Illinois Extension and the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences remains a steadfast partner of the station and its listeners, that each respects the independence of the other and recognizes the symbiotic relationship that makes them stronger together. You, the station, the university, feeding a need for news and information and exploring together how our world works. I happen to do that through the lens of agriculture and love every minute of it. Thank you for letting that happen. Thank you, too, for being here. Thank you also for the 100 years of our shared history. And now, let's get on with the Closing Market Report for the 6th day of April, 2022. 100 years after the first broadcast of agricultural information from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, I'm out of the office this afternoon, so no settlements from the CME Group in Chicago. However, Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing in Hollister, Missouri, does join us to talk about the marketplace. Hey, Jackie, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Todd.
Let's start with our normals. What have the changes looked like, if anything, in the support and resistance levels this week?
Well, we've had nothing in the May 636 and 843 July 642 and 720, December 632 and 674. So that was a change. Beans for May 1547, 1628, July 1539 and 1616. Both of those are changes for this week. And November 1387 and 1555. April gold 1892, 2112. Dow Jones index 32811 and 36953. U.S. dollar index, even though we've breached this top number, we haven't closed above it. So 97.35 for support, 99.50 for resistance. And Bitcoin for April, 44,396 and 45,957. And, you know, Todd, I'll just go on to the managed money. This is very interesting, actually. Right now, we have the managed money long, 47,000 soft red week compared to short, 26,000 last week. Big change. Corn, 368,000 compared to 366. Beans, 156 versus 154. Soy meal, 101 versus 100. And soy oil, 79 versus 70. So you can really see that the managed money right now is looking at wheat, you know, and I'm sure that that's backed up by what's going on in the Ukraine. Index traders, again, a new record for their long and corn, 575,423. Same thing for beans, 261,347. Wheat just still can't make its new record, but it's 199,966. And so export inspections, wheat's running 18% behind compared to 17 last week. We need 12.4 million bushels. Corn, 15.5 behind compared to 14 last week. We need 46.4 million bushels per week. And soybeans, 19% behind compared to 21 last week at 19.6 million bushels. Export inspections I'll talk about it a little bit later, but export inspections can be a little deceiving in terms of what they represent.
USDA reports to talk about today, one from last Friday, and of course we have the WASDE coming up this week. What were your assessments from last week and expectations for this week?
Well, I'll tell you what, the assessment from last week was one big shock. I'll tell you what, I think that everybody's jaw kind of fell to the ground. But it's very interesting, you know, coming out with, you know, lower corn acres, of course, and higher bean acres during the week this week. Now, all of a sudden, farmers are saying, well, maybe I'm going to switch to some corn now instead of some beans. So that's why we call it prospective plantings, because it's really a guess at what you're going to do. The whole thing is still driven by what spring weather is, you know, and it's just extremely interesting. But it was definitely a shock. There's no question. Now, for this week, we have the report out on Friday, Todd. And for corn, we're looking at an average guess of 1.4 billion for carryout. That would be slightly less than March, 1.44 billion for March. Soybeans, 254 million compared to 285 last month. And wheat, the average guess is at 654 compared to 653 last month. World ending stocks, 300.7 million metric tons compared to 301. Beans, 88.4 compared to 90. So, you know, a drop. And wheat, 281.5 compared to 281.5. And the big drivers will be Brazil and Argentina also. On the corn side of things, they are now saying that they think Brazil is going to be at 115.2 compared to 114 last month. And soybeans, 125 compared to 127 last month. So a reduction in beans, but a little bit of a gain in corn. And Argentina, 51.9 on corn compared to 53 last month. And soybeans, 42.6 compared to 43.5. So Argentina's, you know, at least the estimates are taking into account a lot of the bad weather that we've seen down there.
What do you think of the market action this week?
CONAB is going to come out with their numbers tomorrow, you know, their updated South American numbers. So that is definitely part of what's going on in the market. China bought beans today. Hey, they were on holiday yesterday, so everybody was waiting to see if they'd actually come in. But, you know, we're waiting for more corn sales. Come on, guys. We know that they need it. They just have to time it right. Now, I think it's interesting what I'm going to refer to here when I talked about inspections perhaps not, you know, might be a little deceiving. And I'm not using the word deceiving because I think it's something that's being done on purpose. But the census report pegged the corn exports 190 million bushels higher than the inspection suggests. And this is related to corn that is shipped across the border by rail. You know, the majority of the corn that goes to Mexico actually goes across the border by rail. It doesn't go by boat. And so That number is not included in the inspections. In fact, this was one of the things I worked hard for at the USDA data users meeting, was to get them to give us this number at some, you know, somewhere. And we finally do have access to it. But because inspections is the way it's always been, the media hasn't picked up on it. And so we don't see that. Russia, they bombed the sunseed plants and dairy farms in the Ukraine. Just so sad. And, you know, there's a lot of concern that as they move toward the ports that we might even see, you know, the talk is out there that we might even see more corn exports than they thought. But that's, you know, you just don't know. Wheat's been crazy. They've got land mines in the Black Sea, so that might cut shipping in half out of the Ukraine. And the crazy part is we actually might see an increase in wheat carryout on this report on Friday, because inspections have just been, oh, pitifully sluggish. And so it would suggest that a lower number is needed there. And one of the other things that's bolstering us, and, you know, I think when you look at today's action, we see profit taking, just some of the positioning that's going on ahead of this report that's going to come out Friday. But Europe is now okay with buying GMO products. That might also add to some of the exports that we're looking at.
Anything from Brazil and Argentina?
Yeah, not a lot. Although I thought this was interesting, higher fertilizer costs may slow their expansion. And they've expanded soybean acres down there for the last 15 years. But now they're saying this might be one of the smallest ones in history. Reuters had a blurb out yesterday that they are estimating the Brazilian soybean acres to increase only by 1/2 of a percent. So for that growing season, the soybean acreage in Brazil for this growing season increased 3.8%. So that's extremely small increase. And so, you know, we'll see once if it happens or not. Argentina, I don't know if a lot of people heard, but they had a frost and a series actually of frosts in the south and the southwestern regions of the Buenos Aires province. And that will probably negatively impact double crop beans. And it might even affect their soybean acreage. So that's a really early frost, Todd. You know, it'd be about equivalent to a frost in the Midwest from late August to early September. So we know what kind of a nightmare that would be for us.
Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for being here on this anniversary of our very first broadcast that took place April the 6th of 1922.
Well, I'll tell you what, I consider it an honor, to be honest. This radio program and the radio station itself has just been plunking along here for 100 years, doing a phenomenal job of helping our farmers stay in the know about what's going on. And I'm sincere, you've heard me say it before, there is no place else in the U.S. where you're going to find something like WILL. I've traveled all over. I've talked to farmers all over. They just don't have it. And we don't realize what a gem we have. So here's to another 100 years.
Here's to another 100 years. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing. Early this morning, I had a long conversation about the agricultural situation in Ukraine with Lena Dutsenko and Vlad Konovalchuk, both with the Agricultural Extension Center called Bridges that's based in Kyiv, Ukraine. We'll hear all of that conversation on Friday afternoon during our Commodity Week program. However, today I wanted to give you just a piece of that conversation. In fact, something that I asked them after we were done with the primary conversation about the current crop which is in storage in Ukraine, corn, wheat, soybeans, and how long it can be stored and what issues they expect. Lena Dutsenko starts.
Well, actually, our elevators are full of grain, all types of grain. And they are stored in the pretty good conditions that are required for the storage of the certain grain. But the problem is, for example, just yesterday, one missile hit the elevator in Kazatian. So it used to be the completely brand new elevator full of grain. Today it is destroyed.
And it was in a good condition.
And it was in the perfect condition because it was built with the use of the modern Western technologies. Mm-hmm. And I should also say that during the last probably 15 years, we have a lot of foreign companies that build the elevators, including the American companies, that successfully entered Ukrainian market. And together with the Ukrainian companies, they build the elevators. So all elevators, they meet international standards. Most new elevators where the grain stored, it really meet the international standards. So they're in a good condition and could be transported to the clients, but it cannot be transported due to logistical issues that we discussed earlier.
This is interesting that this is the first time in agriculture, I would say, in the world over the last 80 years, is that I would say that the condition of the crop depends on the quality of our air defense systems.
I would like to add the answer to your second part of the questions for how long it could be stored there. The problem, it could be stored with the good conditions, but the problem is that since we have a planting season right now, we need our elevators empty to get the grain that will be harvested to the elevators. And if elevators are full, we will not have a place to actually to store the new crops. So that's the major problem. So the Ukraine will just sink in the corn and soybean and sunflower because the elevators will be still full if we do not sell the grain from the elevators.
That was Lena Dutsenko and Vlad Konovalchuk, who are with Bridges. That's an extension-like function in Ukraine, which serves farmers and parliament there. On Friday of this week, during this hour, you'll be able to hear a half-hour discussion with them about the agricultural situation on the ground in Ukraine. Now on this 100th anniversary of WILL's first broadcast, let's talk with Greg Johnson. He's with TGM, Total Grain Marketing, here in Champaign County, Illinois, about conditions on the ground. Hi, Greg. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I feel honored to be part of the historic occasion.
Well, it is an historic occasion, although we probably should just talk about what's happening in the world, because there is so darned much to discuss as it relates to the cash grain situation, what farmers here in the United States are hearing about what's happening in Ukraine, and what that means overall. Have things changed at all? I suspect not in the last week for agriculture, but we're still in that, you know, beginning to think about planting season. So maybe the discussions you've had with producers.
Yeah, the USDA planting intentions report was very supportive corn, and that's farmers were a little bullish. A lot bullish, let's be honest, to begin with. And that report did nothing but keep them bullish. So we are not buying a lot of corn as farmers, feel that the acreage report should allow for prices to work higher. Combine that with some wet weather here in April, not getting off to an early start. We may get off to a normal start or a late start, but it certainly won't be an early start, it doesn't look like, if the forecast is correct. And then you combine that with all the uncertainty as to when and if and when the war will ever reach ceasefire status and to allow Ukraine farmers to get planted. So those three big unknowns have got farmers fairly friendly corn, and so that's translated into very little farmer selling of corn, but either old or new crop.
How has basis been handling the quick movements in the marketplace? For instance, yesterday's move up and the volatility in general. Does it just stay right with it for the most part?
Yeah, the basis dropped back in the first week of March when farmers really took advantage of the high prices for the first time, and processors, exporters, feeders were getting too much corn, so they backed off on basis. Since then, it's rebounded. We've probably gained back 20 of the 30 cents we lost. So the basis is still weaker than where it was a month ago, but not as weak as what it was just even 2 weeks ago. And you're exactly right. On days when they need corn every week. So on days, if there's a few days where the farmers slow down on that movement or the elevators slow down on the movement, then you'll see basis pick up a little bit. And then if the corn is moving, then you'll see basis kind of back off just a little bit. So it hasn't had a big move other than a couple of cents one way or the other ever since we had that big move first week of March, and then probably the third week of March to gain back half of what we lost the first week of March. Since then, it's been rather steady.
The prospective plantings report showing a record soybean crop will be planted in terms of acreage in the United States, and only the third time that more soybean acres have been planted in the U.S. than corn acres. Did basis for soybean break at all, or did it follow along as well?
No, it has not broke yet. We're waiting to see. We've got a very tight old crop supply situation with the smaller crop in Brazil. We're thinking that maybe USDA will raise the export number this Friday when the supply and demand report comes out. So we will have to have a big crop to kind of refill the pipeline. So eventually we could see basis get a little weaker, but just based on the planting intentions, I don't think we'll see it drop. If we get into July and August and everything still looks fine, then you could probably see basis start to weaken. But until then, I think basis will probably hang in there.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with TGM, Total Grain Marketing, from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Now let's turn to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thank you for being here. And thanks for joining us on our 100th anniversary celebration.
Congratulations. That's great.
It is. And we've had weather the whole time. Speaking of which, we probably ought to talk about the weather here in the United States. Start in the southwest for me, and then we'll build through the Corn Belt after that.
Absolutely. The hard red winter wheat country still has this ongoing dryness. You know, we went through a couple of weeks there where we were getting precipitation relatively regularly, and then we had this stratospheric warming event take place, which brought in all this cool air and kind of changed the upper wind flow pattern. And so now we're back into the dry again, and it's going to be really difficult for us to break out of this pattern before we're ready to start pumping a ridge of high pressure into the middle of the country. So we're looking at kind of a tough outlook here now. I think we're losing some of our opportunity to get more meaningful precipitation to occur in the central and southwest plains. So for now, the crop conditions, of course, have been improving because of the rain that we did get last month. But we are not going to be seeing much moisture from western Texas through the central and western parts of Kansas or southeastern Colorado for the next 2 weeks. And I think we may kind of get stuck in this mode. And when we get to late April and May, we'll start building a ridge of high pressure over the region. And that's going to force all the weather off to the north and to the east. So this area may continue to dry down.
Well, I was going to ask you what things would look like for them in May and June, but I believe you've given me that indication. So turn your attention to the eastern Corn Belt, where it's been cold and kind of wet.
Yeah, this is also a bit of a problem developing possibly, you know, with La Nina prevailing as it is and as it's expected to. The eastern Midwest, the Delta, parts of the Tennessee River Basin, those areas are all usually biased for being wetter than normal in spring seasons like this with a La Nina that's prevailing. And with everything I've been looking at, I see no reason why that would not be the case this year. So we're going to continue to keep the temperatures cool as we go forward through this next week. And then we'll try to warm up, and then there's going to be some more cool air that comes in after that. So we're going to have a tough time getting the soil to dry down with this kind of environment. The precipitation events themselves don't strike me as being real impressive as far as volumes of rain. But without having good, solid 70-degree days, it's going to be really hard to get the ground to dry down like it needs to. And we'll have to wait. There'll be a temporary ridge of high pressure that will build up over the region next week, just ahead of another storm system. So we will get an opportunity to get into the fields, but only those well-drained areas will be able to take full advantage of it, because the drier and warm weather is only going to last for 2 to maybe 3 days, and that just might not be long enough before it rains again.
Will the Dakotas, parts of Iowa, maybe Minnesota be able to go next week?
They will also be seeing some precipitation occasionally. Their soil temperatures may also be a little on the cool side. And I know these guys don't really like to put their crops into cold soil. So I'm thinking that maybe there'll be a little bit of it. There will be, again, a couple of days that will heat up that way. Actually, their moisture profile is probably the best in the whole country, as far as the growing areas is concerned. So if it just would warm up a little bit better, they'd be able to go at it fairly good. My guess is we're probably going to have to wait until the latter part of this month and maybe the first couple of weeks in May. But they should still have a relatively good outlook for their planting season there.
Hey, thank you.
You betcha. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play from the website. The Closing Market Report and Commodity Week in our podcast page. You'll also find the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast, all for you to listen to whenever you'd like. If you hit subscribe in any of the three of those players on the podcast page, you'll also be able to subscribe to them using Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, even Spotify, all right there at willag.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.